About the Word made flesh. It's a Christmas story. It's the story of the Word of God that has come to live among us. That's what Christmas is all about, is that time when Jesus Christ came to this world to live among us, to die for us. John, the Gospel of John tells the Christmas story in a very unique way. It doesn't sound like the Christmas story that we're used to, of the babe in the manger and the angels and the wise men and all of those kinds of things that happen. But it is a Christmas story just the same. Let's read it together from John chapter 1. If you have your Bible, turn with me to John chapter 1. We're going to read the first few verses there. It says, "In the beginning, the Word already existed." Now, who is the Word? Jesus Christ. That's right. That's the Word of God, is Jesus Christ. "In the beginning, the Word already existed. The Word was with God, and the Word was God. He existed in the beginning with God. God created everything through Him, and nothing was created except through Him. The Word gave life to everything that was created, and His life brought light to everyone. The light shines in the darkness, and the darkness can never extinguish it." 2 weeks ago, we talked about those little few verses that are there, and we said that this is the biblical evidence that Jesus Christ is God come in the flesh. We hit it kind of hard. We talked about the fact that Jesus is more than just a good man. He's more than just a prophet. He's more than just a moral teacher. He is God come in the flesh. Now, that has all kinds of implications. If you want to hear about those implications, go to our website, www.hollandnorthpoint.org. Click on Downloads and listen to the sermon, because I'm not going to do the whole thing over again here this morning. But if you want to know that Jesus Christ is God, if anyone says Jesus was a good moral teacher, you can bring them to this verse and show them that the Bible teaches that Jesus Christ is God come in the flesh. He is the Creator. Everything that was created by Him. He and the Father are one. He is God come in the flesh. And then it goes on, and this is what we're going to look at this morning. God sent a man, John the Baptist, to tell about the light so that everyone might believe because of his testimony. John himself was not the light. He was simply a witness to tell about the light. The one who is the true light, who gives light to everyone, was coming into the world. That's what we're going to talk about this morning. And then verse 10 goes on and it says, "He came into the very world He created, but the world didn't recognize Him. He came to His own people, but even they rejected Him. But to all who believed Him and accepted Him, He gave the right to become children of God." We're going to talk about that in a little more detail in the coming weeks. But that says something very important. It says something about how to become a child of God. You have to accept and believe in the Word and the light of God. Now, there are some people who say, well, we're all God's children. No, we're not. We're all created by God. But that doesn't make us His children. What makes us His children is believing and accepting Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior of our lives. Now, I didn't say that. The Bible says that. It says, "But to all who believed Him and accepted Him, He gave the right to become children of God." They are reborn. Not with a physical birth resulting from human passion or plan, but a birth that comes from God. And then here comes our Christmas Eve service. "So the Word became human," or "the Word became flesh, and made His home among us. He was full of unfailing love and faithfulness, and we have seen His glory, the glory of the Father's one and only Son." That's the Word that came from God for you and I at Christmas time. When we celebrate the babe in the manger, we are celebrating God come in the flesh. When we celebrate the birth of the Savior, we're celebrating that God manifested Himself, made Himself visible among us in the form of Jesus Christ. Now, this morning, I want to look at the role of John the Baptist, where it says in verses 6 through 9, it says, "God sent a man, John the Baptist, to tell about the light so that everyone might believe because of his testimony." John himself was not the light. He was simply a witness to tell about the light. The one who is the true light, who gives light to everyone, was coming into the world. We're not left out of this whole plan that God had at Christmas time. There is a role for you and I to play. We're not just to observe. We are not observers. You know, the book of Hebrews talks about this great cloud of witnesses that are cheering us on as we run the race for Jesus Christ in this world. We are active participants in the kingdom of God here in this world. Now, that means something to you and I. That means that following Christ is more than a Sunday morning activity. Following Jesus Christ is more than just showing up to church two or three times a month and worshiping when we worship, putting our tithe offering in the offering plate. It's so much more than that. Following God is a lifestyle. It's a way of living. It is something that each one of us are called to be and called to do. So many times it's easy to kind of compartmentalize our lives and to put them into little boxes. You know, Sunday, we are Christians, so we pull out our church box and we put on our clothes and we put on our makeup. And, well, I don't put on my makeup. Maybe it wouldn't hurt. I don't know. But we do all that, and we go to church and we worship and we praise God and we give our offering and we sit and listen to the sermon. And then we go home and we put that back on the shelf and we say, I'm glad that's over with. Now I can be myself again. But that's not what it means to follow Christ. It means that there's a consistency that goes on. And the first thing that we notice is that God has a plan for our lives. It says in the Bible, it says, God sent a man, John the Baptist. Those few words, God sent a man, tells us that God has a mission and a plan for each one of our lives. You know, every once in a while I'm asked, usually by a young person, how can I know what God's plan for my life is? Well, number one, you can look in the Word. Because the Bible gives us a general plan for our lives. And usually they say, no, that's not what I mean. I mean, should I be a plumber? Should I be a baker? Should I be a lawyer? Should I be a doctor? You know, that's what... Well, let's get the generals taken care of first. God has a plan for your life. And that plan is that He has sent you to be a witness to the light of Jesus Christ. Could I just say this? Fulfill the major plan that God has for your life first, and then watch how everything else falls into place as you fulfill the general plan that God has for every single one of us to follow Him and to be a witness to the light. God sends men and women and young people, you and I, to do His work, to fulfill His word, to tell others about Jesus Christ. That is God's plan for your life. It's to be a witness to the light of Jesus Christ in our lives and around the world. It says in Isaiah 6:8, it gives us an image of God. He was searching for somebody that will go and tell the message. It says, then I heard the Lord asking, whom should I send as a messenger to this people? Who will go for us? And I said, here I am, send me. This little verse tells us that there is a drama going on in heaven. God is looking for somebody. Now, He was looking specifically for Isaiah in the book of Isaiah. I don't want you to forget that. He was looking specifically for Isaiah to respond. But generally, God is looking for someone who is willing to obey Him and willing to submit themselves to God's plan for their life. And He's waiting for us to say those words, here I am, send me. He's waiting for us to submit our will to His will, to be a witness for Him, to tell others about Jesus Christ, to live lives of holiness and righteousness. I appreciated Judy's word this morning, talking about the narrow way and don't weary in doing well. Sometimes it can be tough following Christ. It's so much easier to go along with the flow. It's so much more comfortable to do the things that everybody else is doing. But no, we got to be a light. We've got to be a light shining in a dark place. And you know, you got to stand out. You got to be that city on a hill. You got to be the salt of the earth. And God says, who's willing to go? who's willing to make that sacrifice, who's willing to follow me. And he's just waiting for you and I to say, here I am, send me, Lord. You don't have to wait for the call of God on your life any longer. He is constantly calling out, who's going to go? Who's going to take the message to others? You know, one of the things that we talk about all the time here is we need to be proactive in looking for opportunities to tell others about Jesus Christ. One of the simplest ways that I can think of is for when somebody comes up and asks you, how's it going? How's it going? How many of you have somebody come up and ask you that during the week? Hey, how's it going? Now, do they really want to know how it's going? No, it's perfunctory. It's polite conversation. It's, you know, how's it going? If you stopped and you said, well, you know, my wife and I aren't getting along too well, and the kids are really a pain in the neck, and my dog bit me yesterday, and, you know, it's just really terrible. I mean, can I talk to you about it? No, whoa, hey, whoa. I didn't mean to get that involved in it. You know, how's it going? But we can use that as a witness for Jesus Christ. Let me tell you something. My prayer time this morning, I was just struck when God said, who will go? And I said, me, Lord, I'll go. And they'll probably stop asking you, how's it going, after a while if you do that enough. But the point of it is we need to look for opportunities to minister to people. How many of you have people that come up to you during the day and just kind of share something with you that they're going through? You know, just out of the blue, everybody does. One of the things that I keep telling you is there are just five little words that you can say to people when they run into situations like that. What are those five little words? Can I pray for you? Oh, you're paying attention to me. I love that. Can I pray for you? Five little words that open the door to the supernatural. God is saying, who will go? And when we see those opportunities, we can stand up and say, I will go, Lord. I will go. And, you know, I've told you before, I've had one or two instances in my life where I've asked somebody if I can pray for them where they've said no. And then I prayed for them anyway. Just quietly, you know, off on my own prayer time, I'll pray for them. But you'd be amazed what can happen when you just take their hand and say these simple words, Lord, you see my friend, you see their need, intervene in Jesus' name, amen. It doesn't have to be eloquent. It doesn't have to be something super. It can just be a simple prayer of God's blessing upon them, and it can move mountains. They probably never had anybody pray with them before. They don't know what to do with that, but they're going to remember when God begins to move mountains. They're going to relate that back to the time that you said, can I pray for you? So number one, God is looking for people who will go. In Mark 16, 15 and 16, Jesus said, and then he told them, go into all the world and preach the gospel, the good news to everyone. Anyone who believes and is baptized will be saved, but anyone who refuses to believe will be condemned. Now who was Jesus talking to in these verses? He's talking to his disciples, isn't he? He's not talking to unsaved people. This is not a sermon to unsaved people to get them to come to Jesus Christ. He's talking to his disciples, and he's motivating them. He's saying, number one, the job is massive. I've got a massive job for you. I am calling you to go into all the world. Now, you got to remember who he's talking to here. He's talking to guys who probably haven't traveled more than 20 miles from their hometown from the place they were born. Travel was rough, it was expensive, it was dangerous, it was foot power. They didn't own donkeys or cars or planes or anything like that. Jesus said, go into all the world. He calls us to impossible tasks. He's calling us to go into all the world and preach the gospel. And he calls us to hard things, not easy things. I say this all the time, but following Jesus Christ is not for the weak-willed. It's not for those that need a crutch. It's for those that need power and anointing, for those that need God's help, those that cry out and say, God, I can't do this in my own strength, but with your strength, I can do all things. I love that verse. I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. And he calls us to go into all the world and preach the gospel. All the world and preach the gospel. Now, folks, I don't mean to be condemnatory here, but some of you haven't even gone into your own world and preached the gospel. Some of you have never witnessed to anybody. You've never said those five words to anybody. Can I pray for you? You've been frightened. You've been scared. But God tasks us with things that are beyond our ability. And I want to encourage you this week to steel up your courage. Ask the Holy Spirit to give you the ability to look people in the eye and to say, listen, I want to tell you something about Jesus Christ. Can I have 5 minutes of your time? Can I pray for you? Can I give you God's grace and goodness? Are you willing to listen to that? You know, just take the opportunity. Step out of your comfort zone and see what God does with that. And then the second thing he says is motivating to those that are telling this thing. He says, anyone who believes and is baptized will be saved. You just might save somebody's soul. I'll tell you, if you've never led somebody to the Lord, there's not much that beats that in the kingdom of God than to watch somebody enter into the kingdom of God, to have the light go on, and suddenly Jesus is real to them, and they take that step of faith, and they begin growing in their faith. It's just super. It's fantastic. It's wonderful to have that experience. But look at how he ends it. He said, but anyone who refuses to believe will be condemned. We don't talk about that too much anymore because it's too harsh. It's too judgmental. Condemnation. They're not going to make it to heaven. That's a reality. The Bible talks about hell frequently in Scripture. It talks about that place of darkness. It talks about separation from God. Don't get involved in picky little arguments. Well, is there really a hell? Is there really, you know, is it fire? Is it darkness? You know, it's separation from God. That's what matters, is you will not be with God for all of eternity. That is the condemnation that he's talking about. And Jesus is motivating his disciples. He says there's a positive response and there's a negative response. And you've got to make the difference. You've got to tell others about Jesus Christ. So God has a plan for your life, and his plan is to tell about the light. That's God's plan for you and I. It says that John the Baptist was to tell about the light so that everyone might believe because of his testimony. Can I tell you something about your testimony? Now, for those of you that don't understand that term testimony, it just means your story, what God has done for you. And I would encourage you to do this. We've taught classes on this here, and one of the exercises that we do in those classes where we talk about how to reach others for Christ is to write out your story. Write out how you came to Christ, how God has touched your life, what He's changed about you, what He's done in your life that is indelible, that is unbelievable, that, you know, some of you have great stories that you can tell. And it says that the message of the Messiah that is tell about the light so that everyone might believe because of his testimony. John is going to give his testimony. I want you to be ready to give your testimony. That's how you tell about the light. Just tell them what Jesus has done for you. Just tell them how he's impacted your life, how he's carried you through difficult times, how he's been a comfort in times of sorrow, how he's delivered you, how he's set you free. All of you have a story to tell, how he changed your mind, how he changed your attitude, how he saved your marriage, how he made you a better man, a better woman. Just tell your story. Your story is important, especially in these days today. People are looking for authenticity. They're looking for something authentic. They're looking for something that brings definite change into people's lives. And your change is your story. Your ability to tell the story about what Jesus has done for you is important in the great scheme of things. It's to tell about Jesus Christ. In Matthew 1:21, the angel is talking to Mary, and he says, she will have a son, or talking to Joseph, excuse me. He says, she will have a son, and you are to name him Jesus, for he will save his people from their sins. People are looking for a way to be free from the guilt of their sinful lives. Everybody you run into, everybody that you lock eyes with, is looking for freedom from guilt in some way, in some shape, in some form. They're looking for a way to feel right with God, to feel as though they're worthy of God's presence, to feel as though they're forgiven. Those are universal truths. And Jesus' very name means Jehovah is salvation. It means God brings salvation. It means that God saves us from our sins. Don't be afraid to talk about sins. Don't be afraid to talk about the fact that we've offended God and we need to get rid of that guilt. We need to get rid of that shame and we need to be made right in God's eyes. People don't want to talk about why they're guilty. They want to talk about why they're free from their guilt. And that's where the big difference lies. I could go around all day telling people how guilty they are. You sinner! You're probably thinking bad thoughts right now, aren't you? It doesn't take a genius to figure that out. Everybody, the Bible says all have sinned and fallen short of God's glorious standard. I believe that even the most diehard, reluctant person to admit that there's a sinner really knows that they're a sinner. Their whole spirit just cries out against it. And it's no trick to tell people that they're sinners. What they're looking for is for a way to be saved from their sins. They're looking for something to set them free from their guilt that they're experiencing because of their sins. Jesus said in John 14:6, I am the way, I am the truth, I am the light. No one comes to the Father except through me. Just let them know that Jesus is the way. Jesus is the truth. Jesus is the light. It's so simple. Just have a relationship with Him. Ask Him to forgive your sins and you're forgiven. If we confess our sins, He is faithful and just to forgive us and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness, the Bible says. It doesn't matter what your skin color is. It doesn't matter whether you're male or female. It doesn't even matter whether you're a killer or a liar, one of those and anything in between. God says He will forgive us of those sins if we confess them and if we repent of them and if we cry out to Him. That's what people are looking for today. The plan is to tell them about the light so that everyone might believe because of His testimony. And then just kind of a pause in here because it says that John himself was not the light. He was simply a witness to tell about the light. And that just simply means we're not the light. Jesus is the light. Jesus is the way, the truth, and the light. We're not the light, but Jesus is. And we need to be careful that we don't draw attention to ourselves, but to the light. It says in John 3:19-21, it says, God's light came into the world, but the people loved the darkness more than the light, for their actions were evil. All who do evil and hate the light and refuse to go near it for fear their sins will be exposed. But those who do what is right come to the light so that others can see that they are doing what God wants. I love that verse in Matthew 4:6. Talking about the prophecy of the coming Messiah, it says that the people who sat in darkness have seen a great light, and those who lived in the land where death cast its shadow, a light is shine. Jesus is that light in the darkness. We need to remember that. We need to remember that we don't have to solve all of their problems. We've got this idea that if somebody comes to us and says, how do I get my marriage back on track? How do I get, you know, that we've got to have three answers for them. Well, first you need to go love your wife unselfishly and, you know, give them three answers. Just tell them, you can be honest with them and say, you know what? I don't know. I don't know what you need to do, but Jesus does. And if you'll give yourself to Him, if you will go to the light will lead you into brightness and you will know what you're supposed to do. We don't have to have all the answers because we're not the answer giver. The Holy Spirit is. And sometimes we're afraid that we're the light and we try to solve all of their problems when we cannot do that. And all we really need to do is lead them to Jesus Christ and say, can I pray with you? And then just pray. Say, Jesus, I don't know the answer for my friend, but you do. And I pray that you'll open up his mind and his spirit to you so that he can find the answer to the questions that he has right now. In Jesus' name, amen. Doesn't have to be eloquent. Doesn't have to be anything other than honest. I don't know the answers. You do, Jesus. Speak to him. How many of you believe Jesus can speak to unsaved people? I mean, if he can't, we're all in trouble because we're all sinners and fallen short of God's glorious standard. But Jesus can talk to their hearts just as well as he can talk to our hearts. They just need to be brought into the right mode, into the right attention. John himself was not the light. Jesus, in John chapter 12, verses 35 through 36, by the way, John really brings this idea of the light of Jesus Christ into full focus. He says, Jesus replied, "My light will shine with you just a little longer. Walk in the light while you can, so that darkness will not overtake you. Those who walk in the darkness cannot see where they were going." But then he says this, "Put your trust in the light while there is still time. Then you will become children of the light." That's the goal. That's what Jesus wants of us, is to become children of the light. We're to be light in dark places. You know, it's amazing to me. I've used this illustration before so many times. But if we were to turn out all the lights in here and pull all the shades and make it as dark as we possibly can in here, but I just lit a candle, one little candle, it would make the difference between night and day in here, because light invades darkness wherever it finds it. All you need is a little light to make all the difference in the world. And Jesus is the great light of the world. What difference would it make if we are able to bring the light of Jesus Christ into their lives? He makes everything clear. He makes everything seeable. Well, we got to wrap this up. But it says in verse 9, "The one who is the true light, who gives light to everyone, was coming into the world." And the message there is that Jesus is the true light. He is the true light of everyone. In Psalm 27:1, it says, "The Lord is my light and my salvation. So why should I be afraid? The Lord is my fortress, protecting me from danger, so why should I tremble?" We need to confess once again that Jesus Christ is our light, because, quite frankly, you can't give away something you don't have yourself. You get that? We don't understand that, because we practice that all the time with credit cards. We try to give away stuff that we don't have ourselves, but the bill always comes due for some reason. And they don't seem to buy the excuse, I don't have the money right now. But we cannot give away something that we don't have. We can't give away something that we don't possess on our own. Jesus is our light. And if you're here this morning and you don't have the light of Christ in your life, I want you to know He's here. He's waiting. He wants to be the light in your life. He wants to be the center of everything that you are. And He wants you to come to Him so that you can have light in your life. Then you can say, "The Lord is my light and my salvation. Whom shall I fear?" I love that he puts the lack of fear in that whole contest, in that whole verse there. Whom shall I be afraid? Of whom shall I fear if the Lord is my light? He brings that peace and that security. And then He's the light for everyone. In Luke 11:10, it says, "For everyone who asks receives, everyone who seeks finds, and to everyone who knocks, the door will be opened." There's no discrimination in the body of Christ as far as salvation is concerned. That's why we believe in missions. That's why we believe in going into all the world and preaching the gospel, because everyone is eligible. We would probably, most of us in this room today would never think that God doesn't love somebody because of their skin color, because they're male or female. I hope we're beyond that. I hope none of us harbor those feelings in our minds. Let me tell you what we do think, though. We do think that guy can never be saved. Do you know what he's like? Do you know what he's done? Do you know where he's come from? Do you know the language that he uses? Do you know what he's performed in his life? I don't know if God can save that person. But the Bible says that anyone who asks receives. Anyone who seeks will find them. We need to be careful that we don't exclude anyone from the kingdom of God. And I know it's hard. Sometimes it's easy. And sometimes it's not even the people that are really bad that we discriminate against. It's the people who annoy us. God, don't send me that jerk in my office. I will go to anybody but him. He is such a pain in the neck. And then God says, "Go ahead. Go ahead. Talk to him. Be his friend. Treat him kindly. Treat him like I treated you when you were a jerk." Oh, Lord, did you have to say that? Don't discriminate. The light is for everyone. And then finally, he has come because he loves us. If I could leave you with one thought this morning, it's this: Jesus loves you. He loves you. That's all there is. Jesus loves me This I know, for the Bible tells me so. One of the great theologians of the world, I'm not sure who it was, so I won't even give it to anybody. But he was asked one time, what is the greatest theological truth that we can have? And he said, Jesus loves me, this I know, for the Bible tells me so. It's simple. Jesus loves you, and he loves your neighbor, and he wants us to spread that love from our lives into his life. Be an infectious Christian this year. Now, for some of you, it needs to start somewhere. If you're new at this, try this. Invite them to come to the Christmas Eve service. Hey, would you like to come to the Christmas Eve service that our church puts on every year? It's really great. It lasts an hour. It's just beautiful, and you'll want to be a part of it. I preach a salvation message every Christmas Eve because I know that there are people there that are looking for something beyond this life that they can hang their hat on, that they can put their trust in. So they're going to hear a salvation message, and that is your greatest start to spreading the light, is to saying to people, hey, why don't you come with me to our Thanksgiving, our Christmas Eve service, and just let them be a part of that. I don't know, do we have the handouts yet for that, Matt? We'll have them this week. We'll have handouts for you to give them a card to invite them. But just start simple. You can start by asking the question, can I pray for you? Look for opportunities to spread that light, to be a light in a dark place. They're out there. They're looking for it. Be that light. Who will go? Who can we send? And our response needs to be, here I am, Lord. Send me. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, this